And I encourage you to get familiar with Israel. It's going to be a real focus for us in the years ahead. God is moving in Israel. Amen. He's about to explode a wave of evangelism in Israel for the Jews. When you go, because I believe one day we're going to take a trip together. We're going to take a trip from our church. I've wanted to go back since we went in 2018. But when you go, you'll see real quick, it is a land full of people who are lost. I think the population is about 10 million. And I think they have like a maybe a, I don't even know if it's 1% Christianity. I mean, it is a group of really lost people. It's surprising, honestly. It really is, because you think, well, it's the Holy Land. There'll be a bunch of holy people there. No, they're just Jews that God has magnetized to come back to their homeland, but they're lost and they need Jesus. Amen. So anyways, this bomb fell yesterday north of the Sea of Galilee. If you find the Sea of Galilee on the map and go north and a little bit to the east, you'll see Magdal Shams, I think was the name of the area. And there was a soccer field there. A bomb landed and killed about 11 young people and children. It was a terrible thing. And so we want to pray for Israel. And, you know, how many of you watched the speech this week with Benjamin Netanyahu? Anybody? Oh, yeah, good handful of you. I think it was the most historic speech probably ever given on behalf of someone representing Israel. I mean, it was amazing, about an hour-long speech. And, you know, they say that he has broken the record for a spokesman coming and standing before Congress. Winston Churchill did it during World War II, but I guess he only did it maybe two or three times, twice, was it? And Benjamin Netanyahu, this was his fourth appearance before Congress, because they're up against a nuclear-armed Iran. I mean, it's really a serious moment in their history as a people. Anyways, so we need to pray for Israel. Can we take just a moment and pray for Israel? They need protection, divine protection, amen, every day. While this war's getting settled, getting worked out. We don't want any more killing going on. We just want God's people protected, amen, and the gospel to get into Israel and save them. Lord, we thank you right now for a fresh release of your angels. God, we have peace here in America. We don't need them as much as they do, it seems. We don't have rockets firing on our heads. We don't have all this kind of hatred around us as they do. But Lord, we just thank you for whatever that means for heaven, to release a fresh battalion of angels for safety's sake, Lord, to protect the people, particularly in northern Israel and near the south as well, near Gaza. Lord, we thank you for protection being released and unleashed upon your people, that the angels will go now for those who are heirs of salvation. They will protect their lives until they can hear the gospel and be saved. Lord, shield them from evil. Deliver your people from evil and bring peace to Jerusalem, we pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. I encourage you to pray often for Israel. By the way, I heard an interesting insight. Genesis 6:11, talking about the time of Noah on the earth, it says, "And the earth was corrupt and filled with violence." The word violence there in the Hebrew language is actually the word Hamas. See the connection? Yeah, they're not representing a good cause. The word violence is Hamas in Hebrew. It literally means violence. And so Israel's up against a lot of violence right now, but the Lord's bringing peace. Amen? Amen. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4, please, in your Bible. And let's go before the Lord in prayer as we receive the word today. Are you ready to receive the word? You know, to prepare your heart, the Bible says we got to get rid of the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust and desire for other things. We have to have a depth that says, I'm not just going to hear the word and run out of here happy today, but I'm going to take it home, nurture that word, water that word, and cause it to grow and bear fruit. Amen. So are you ready to take the word into your heart? Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that these words are spirit and they are life. And what you're speaking to us today, Lord, will encourage, comfort, and exhort us to be closer to you, Jesus. Lift our faith right now, Holy Spirit. Be our teacher, the divine teacher in this room, in this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been doing a study on faith, and we've learned several things about faith. I want to do a quick review with you on what we've covered the last 2 weeks. If you weren't here with us, you can go back and listen to those messages online. BeFellowship.org is our website. But we learned a couple things about faith. Faith is when?
Now.
Faith is now. Faith is how?
Sure.
Faith is sure or certain. Amen. Faith is not questioning. Faith's not iffy on the matter. Faith is sure. Amen. And an example of that, you know, God always helps our faith. In the Old Testament, in Judges chapter 6 and 7, we see the story of Gideon. And when Gideon was going up against this army that I mentioned a while ago, the Bible says that God said, I want you to go down near the enemy's camp. And again, the Bible describes that camp as being as thick as locusts. That's a lot of soldiers. That's a lot of enemy you got to deal with. If you've ever seen locust swarms, they're thick, right? It means you can't count them. And that's how the Bible describes this enemy army that Gideon was going up against. And God only allowed him to take 300 soldiers. And he split up the companies. If I had 300 soldiers around me, I want us to all stick together at least, right? Y'all 299 be all around me, right? You know, Gideon took these 300 and split them up into three companies of 100 each. Man, that's just crazy without God. Amen? But God said, I want you to go down by night and listen to what they're saying in the enemy's camp. And God was helping Gideon's faith. And Gideon drew near and he heard these guys talking. And they said, I had a weird dream last night. And in this dream, a round loaf of barley bread came rolling down the hill and flew into the camp and rolled over a tent and crushed it. And the guy says, I don't know how he got this. Man, talk about a weird interpretation of a dream. He goes, that can be nothing less than Gideon. And Gideon heard that. He said, yes, they're terrified of us. We're coming tonight. And so he went back and got his soldiers, and they beat the Midianites that night. But, you know, God allowed Gideon to hear that dream to help his faith. Amen. So his faith would be solid, sure. Amen. Faith is always now, and faith is always sure. Amen. Jesus is the high priest, and the high priest, according to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, he is the high priest of our belief. No, he's not. That was a trick question on the test. Jesus is the high priest of our confession, which means it's not enough for you to say, I got faith in my heart. Jesus is not the high priest of the faith in your heart. He's the high priest of what you say with your mouth. You got to say something, believer. Amen. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, I believe it was 4:13, he said, we believe, therefore we speak. Jesus is the high priest. He will make good what we say, not just what you believe. This is the hard part. This is the hard part, honestly, with faith, is that we just, I don't know what, if it's just laziness, Judy, or what, but we just don't say. And in fact, in Hebrews, in another place, the writer says, hold fast to the confession. He didn't say, hold fast to your faith. He said, hold fast to your confession of faith. There's just something about our hearts get clogged or something. I don't know. You know, our hearts get stopped up and we just don't get the word that's in there out. But Jesus is the high priest of what we say. Amen. Faith without works is dead, and therefore faith is inactive until we at least do what? Say something. Amen. We got to at least confess our faith. That's step one. That's basics 101. If you got faith in your heart, the next thing you ought to do with it is say something. Amen? Say something. Faith speaks the very words of God. We learn this, that faith says what God says. Psalm 103:20 says that the angels hearken to the voice of his command. And that's not just God's command coming out of God's mouth. It's God's command coming out of your mouth. The angels start moving when you and I start confessing and saying something. Amen. When you talk, they walk. There's another good t-shirt slogan. Write that down. Oh man, that's good, Jake. Don't you think? When you talk, they walk. I thought it's great. I know maybe no one will buy my t-shirts, but I'm going to make them one day. When you talk, man, I'm always without a pen. When you talk, they walk. You got it? Thanks, babe. All right. Faith not only speaks, faith doesn't just speak. It does some things. Faith, in one example in Philemon that we looked at last week, prepares a room. Paul said, I'm in prison now, but prepare a guest room for me because in answer to your prayers, I expect to bust out of this place. Amen. Faith prepares a room. Faith prepares a resume. Faith presents a proposal. Faith may take a test drive. Amen? Faith may make an appointment with a realtor and say, I want to see that house. Well, you can't afford that house. I want to see it anyways. I'm going in that house. Because God said, every place on which my foot shall tread, he has given it to me. He didn't say I had to pay for it. He said he's given it to me. There's one example. If the Lord quickens that word to you, all right? The key is to be hearing the word of the Lord. I want to say that about what we're talking about. When we talk about faith, we're not talking about presumption. We're talking about hearing from the Holy Spirit. And when he drops a promise into your heart, you run with that. Amen? Faith prepares a landing place for what you're believing for. We used an example. In one case, a minister was believing God for an airplane so that he could continue his international travels. And we said he went down and actually rented a hangar when he had no plane yet, because faith prepares a place. Amen. Faith makes preparations in expectation of God. Amen. We said this, faith must be living. Faith must be living. It must be presently active. Why? Because like day-old manna, if your faith is not living, it's breeding worms. And that was our t-shirt slogan for last week. Dead faith breeds worms. On one hand, there's a standing in faith, which requires tenacity and great patience on our part. On the other hand, there's a resting in faith. And this is the hard thing, I think, for Christians to get the right balance of sometimes when we're talking about fighting the good fight of faith. Sometimes we think, well, I'm kind of frustrated. Do I need to stand and fight, or do I need to sit and rest? Yes. And you find many things in the Bible this way. Amen? It's not one or the other. It's usually both. Faith involves a standing, but faith also involves a resting. Let me share some things regarding the standing part of faith. One minister was quoted as saying, the problem is not that we don't do the right thing, but that we don't do it long enough to get results. That's good, isn't it? Yes. It's not that we don't do the right thing. It's that we might do it one or two or three times, and then we quit. You got to do it long enough to get results. Another minister said, patience is faith, which is active over a prolonged period of time. Patience is faith that is active over a prolonged period of time. I mean, no one buries an acorn one day, covers it with dirt, spritzes it with water, and yells, clear, expecting an oak tree to pop up, right? It just doesn't happen. We know better, don't we? I hope we do. Yeah, we do. And acorns take time to grow oak trees. Faith is unrelenting. It's committed to see things through to the expected end. Amen? You've got to have some tenacity in your faith. Clearest illustration of that is a bulldog, right? I don't own one, and here's the reason why. Because they say when they bite you, they don't let go, right? Bulldogs are very tenacious. They don't let go. That's what faith has to be like. When you latch onto the promise of God, you're in for a fight. Just expect it. But if your heart's right, you're in for a win, really, long term. Amen? It's not just a fight. We're fighting to win. That's what faith does. Faith holds on to the expected end. Smith Wigglesworth was an English plumber turned preacher. He saw great signs and wonders in his ministry over the years. He lived in the last part of the early part of the last century, early 1900s. He saw eyes opened. He saw ears unstopped, deaf ears opened. He saw creative limbs form creative miracles, we call them, when someone doesn't have an arm or doesn't have a leg and God grows them a new one. Pretty amazing. That doesn't happen every day. But under Smith Wigglesworth ministry, it happened. It should happen every day. Yeah, that's right. He saw cancerous tumors and growths disappear. He raised several people from the dead. And they said that his life motto, if you could sum up his life somewhat, it would be this idea of pressing through. Pressing through. I want to share a quick story from you just for your encouragement and faith from a book written about Smith Wigglesworth called Greater Works. This is a story of him hopping on a train. He got on the wrong train, but he turned it into lemonade. This is an example of the kind of tenacity that Smith operated under. Here's a story here for you. He says, I was at Southampton Station, and there were four men to see me into the train. They knew everything, and I knew nothing. Only I soon found out that I was on the wrong carriage. There was a man in the carriage, and I said to him, I have been to Burnhamouth before, but I do not seem to be going the right way. Where are you going? He said, I'm going to South Wales. Now, if I was really reading this dramatically, I'd read it with British accents, but I'll spare you the gory details. He said, I'm going to South Wales. I said, what is the Lord Jesus Christ to you? He is my personal friend and Savior. The man replied, I do not thank you to speak to me about these things. You ever talk to somebody and they reply very politely like that? I do not thank you to speak to me about these things. I had a guy tell me that on the airplane the other day when we were trying to witness to him on the way back from California. Except he threw in some colorful words in addition to, I do not thank you to speak to me about these things. The train stopped and I said to the porter, am I on the train to Burnhamouth? How many stops? He said, three. I said to the man in the carriage with me, it has to be settled before I leave the train. You're going to hell. That man wished he had never met me. The train stopped, and I had to get out. I finally said, what are you going to do? He answered, I will make him my own. In other words, leave me alone. I'll accept Jesus. That was the kind of man Smith Wigglesworth was. He just didn't give up. Amen? He said, we got to settle this before you go to hell. What do you know? And he witnessed to him and made his life miserable till he got saved. Praise the Lord. I love Smith. Hey, here's another example of tenacity, the Apostle Paul. You know, when you read 1 and 2 Timothy, you have to understand the context. Timothy was a young pastor of a large church in Ephesus in Turkey, and the church had grown to some 20,000, 30,000 members. It was a huge mega church. And during Timothy's time as a pastor, great persecution broke out against the church. People were being, you know, fed to the lions, literally. It wasn't just a slogan. It was, you know, they were being put into the gladiator rings. Christians were being tortured and killed. And, you know, Timothy knew, hey, I'm next. I'm the pastor of this bunch. If they're coming after the bunch, they're coming after me. And so Paul wrote a letter of encouragement to his young apprentice, Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy. We're privileged to be able to read these words. But you have to understand the context. When you understand what a person's going through when a letter is written to him, it makes you appreciate the letter. Amen? And so Paul writes to Timothy. And you know, instead of coddling Timothy and saying, oh, I know Timothy, it's so terrible to be a Christian in these times. It's so hard. Life is so hard. No, Paul didn't take that approach at all. Here's what he did. He opens the letter, 2 Timothy chapter 1, with this exhortation. God did not give you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. Amen. He starts his letter off with that verse to start off with Timothy. He goes on in chapter 4. He concludes, I have fought the good fight. He uses his own life as an example. He said, Timothy, I've fought the good fight. And here's some examples of what I've been through. He said, in one case, I left one of my coworkers, Trophimus. He was sick, so I left him there in Miletus. You know, people, if you ever go on the mission field, Nadine knows what this is like. You know, sometimes the members of the team might get a little sick. You're eating food that's a little funny to your system, okay? And Paul says, I left one of my partners there in Miletus sick. Demas forsook me, loving the present world. Alexander the metal worker did me much harm. Everyone deserted me at my first defense, but the Lord stood by my side, he said. Jesus stood with me. And Jesus will be with your spirit, young Timothy. So stand strong. And he ends the letter with these words, grace be with your spirit. Grace be with your spirit. In other words, he gave Timothy no room to give up. It's my job as a pastor to give you no room to give up in your faith. Amen. Whatever you believe in God for, I'm not here to coddle you and say, oh, I know it's tough. Hey, I'm here to stomp your feet and say, get with it. Hold on to your faith. Don't let go. Amen. God has not given us a spirit that causes us to shrink back, but a spirit of power, ability to move forward. Why? Because the victory is not just for you. That's worth writing down. Your victory is not just for you. It's for others. Amen. The fight, remember that, believer, the fight of faith you're in right now, whatever you're believing God for, that is a fight for you in the spirit. It's not just for you. Yes, it'll be great when you get that breakthrough. Yes, it'll be great when the harvest comes, but it's not just about you. It's for others. Your victory is as good as gold to others. And the good fight that we're fighting, listen, when Paul says, I have fought the good fight, the reason it's a good fight is because we've already won. It can be nothing less if you've already won, right? We can do nothing less but fight when Jesus has won the battle for us. Amen. In Christ, we have already won. We're simply occupying his win in the good fight. You see that? You're not fighting to get the victory. You're fighting from his place of victory. That's the truth about the good fight. His warfare, if you're taking notes, write this down. His warfare was offensive. Ours, in essence, is defensive. What do I mean by that? We are simply holding the ground that Jesus secured for us. Amen. He fought the battle for us. He defeated death. He defeated hell. He defeated every power there is. And we simply occupy his victory in our fight. Amen. He won the war. We fight the battle. Amen. That's a good t-shirt too. All right. He won the war. We fight the battle. Hebrews chapter 4. Are you there? I called you there a while ago. You thought I forgot. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. Look at it with me. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. Here's another verse that talks about not only standing in faith, but resting. Look at this. Now. Why? Because faith is always now. When we're talking about faith, it's always now. Now we who have believed enter that rest. He's talking about the rest described for the children of Israel in the Old Testament. When God talked to them about going into the promised land, he's using that analogy. And he says, we who have believed do enter that type of rest, just like they entered rest when they came into the good land. Just as God said, quote, I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Yet, this is the part worth underlining in your Bible or highlighting, his work has been finished since the creation of the world. Do you see that?
Yes.
Why do we fight the good fight of faith? Because his work has been finished since the creation of the world. Amen. Jesus not only beat the devil, won the war, he did it before we were ever created. What an amazing God. What a great salvation. He saw it coming. Amen. Through the eons of time, before there was ever a globe, God saw that we would need a Savior. And He put a plan in place. And in a sense, in essence, He completed the work before the world was ever created. Do you see that? I'll read it again. His work has been finished since the creation of the world. Amen. It's finished. It's not a matter of what is God willing to give us, but what are we willing to take? That's worth writing down. It's not a matter of what is God willing to give us, but what are we willing to take? It's not like when you reach out in faith for healing that you're begging God to get Him to release something to you that He's unwilling to give, or He might just give it when He's on a, you know, you caught Him at a good moment. No. What we're doing is we're reaching out for something to lay claim of that which He has given since the creation of the world. Amen. He's given these things, healing, amen, deliverance, financial prosperity, all these things we believe God for, they've been given since the creation of the world in Jesus. Turn over to Romans 8:32. 8:32 of Romans is one of my favorite verses, along with many others, of course. How can you have one favorite in the Bible? I mean, goodness. Romans 8:32. I've lost track of time, but we're tasting of the good word of God, so we're not worried, are we? I'm just teasing. I got to watch up here. Don't worry. Romans 8:32. Oh, this is so powerful. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely, say freely, give us all things? You should underline freely and all, because that is a glorious promise from the Word of God for you and I. No matter what it is you're believing God for, He's already freely given you all things. Why? Because if He gave us Jesus, He's already given us His all. There's nothing more to give than Jesus, is there? Nothing. The riches of heaven have been unleashed for you and I because God gave us Jesus. And so how do we know that we're in faith? One of the ways that we know that we're in faith, when we're standing in faith, is we're resting. That's what we learned from Hebrews 4:3. We're resting. We're resting. Now we who have believed do enter rest. Does that not, that doesn't mean passivity. It doesn't mean inactivity. But there's a rest. Listen, when you're sitting on these beautiful, cushy, white chairs, you are experiencing rest, right? Listen, when you seat yourself on the promise of God regarding healing, prosperity, peace in your home, whatever it is you're believing God for, you are resting on that promise. But it's not a passive thing. It's a trust, but it's an ongoing trust. Amen. It means daily you're still keeping your confessions going. And when the Holy Spirit nudges you one day, He says, now it's time to go do such and such. You step out in that faith. You're still resting in the promise the whole time. Amen. Faith is active, but it's a restful activity. I wrote this down. Faith stands against the evil one, but sits in trust of God's promises. Amen. Faith stands against the evil one, but sits in trust or rest of God's promises. Watchman Nee so fittingly declared this in his book, Sit, Walk, and Stand. Any believer not sitting before God cannot hope to stand before the enemy. What's he saying there? We have to first learn to rest on God's promise. What has God said about the matter? Right? If He said, by My stripes you were healed, then we rest on that. Amen? And you wake up tomorrow and the pain feels greater, you're still resting. You might up your confession twice as much that day, but you're still resting. You don't get all bent out of shape. You don't say, I told you, devil. No. It's, I told you. We're confidently focused on the positive. We're not trying to get in a wrestling match with the devil, because why? Jesus already beat him. We are simply standing in the victory that Jesus won. Faith is resting in the active one who completed the work for us. Faith is resting in the active one. See, God does the work. You and I are not called to work in that sense. We're called to be resting in His work, His finished work. Amen? Calvary is a finished work. Say finished work. Calvary is a finished work. And your healing is as sure as the sunrise. When you got up this morning, you knew the sun would be up in the sky, right? It might be clouded. It might be covered, you know, with some gray that we've been experiencing lately. But you knew the sun would be up there. Faith is resting in the one who we know has finished the work, the active one. That's Jesus. Amen. So spiritual warfare becomes this. We resist Satan, but we rest in God. We resist Satan while we're resting in God. Some people turn those two around. They resist God. They feel like they're wrestling with God. And they're not even aware that Satan's in the room. Amen. The enemy will come around when you start to step out in faith. He will come around and he'll challenge your faith. But we don't focus on him. We focus on the promise that God gave us. Amen. That's what keeps our faith strong. That's what keeps our faith active. And we speak that promise. Jesus said, I'll prepare a table before you, even in the presence of your enemies. Even in the midst of pain. Even in the midst of circumstances that scream, God hasn't heard your prayer yet. You can rest and you can have a delightful meal on his promises. Amen. 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 There's another verse. Actually, you're in Hebrews. We went to Romans, but go back to Hebrews. There's one more verse I want us to see. Hebrews chapter 4. Just flip back to that chapter we were in a moment ago. Hebrews 4, but we're going to look at verse 11 as we close this out. Let me say this about faith. Faith is not a perfect performance. Amen? Sometimes you falter in your faith. But what do? Do you quit? Nope. You just get back up and pick up your confession again. Yep. Amen? You pick up the promises again. You get back in the book. You speak those words of life again over the situation. You say, well, I may have doubted for a moment, but I'm picking up again. Amen. That's the difference between Thomas and Judas. Judas went out and hung himself. Oh, it's over. You know, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Judas betrayed him once, but he got forgiven. Are you with me? Yes. Thomas doubted Jesus once and then said, my Lord and my God. He picked up his faith and kept going. I was watching the Olympics a little bit last night with my wife. She pulled me in while I was trying to study. Now, I was walking through the room. I just checked in on what she was watching. And we stopped and watched this one brief story about a male gymnast. And I watched his routine. He fell twice on those high bars. I said, man, I mean, goodness. Yeah, it would really mess with your head. But you know what he did? He got back up the third time and finished a great routine. It was amazing. The discipline, the mental discipline to say, I'm going to finish. Listen, faith doesn't mean you never fall. But you just get back up and you stand in faith. Paul told Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith. He didn't say win the good fight of faith. He said, fight it. If Jesus came this afternoon and your healing breakthrough hadn't come yet, your financial breakthrough hadn't come yet, that job you're believing for hadn't come yet, whatever you're believing God to manifest hadn't come yet, Jesus wouldn't say, I'm sorry, you're not coming in the pearly gates. Your faith's not perfect yet. No, you've been fighting the good fight. If Jesus catches us in the middle of the fight, he's pleased. Yes. It's not the win he's looking for, it's the fight.
That's right.
Amen? The win is already secured eternally in the unseen realm.
Amen.
That's what he purchased for us. That's why we're standing to begin with. He would be pleased that you're fighting, ing, which means present continual sense, right? Present continual. That's what he's after. Praise the Lord. Oh, you're there in Hebrews 4? Look at verse 11. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any of us fall under the same example of unbelief. That word labor means to make every effort to enter rest. Yes, standing in faith involves spiritual warfare. It involves warfare. But in the midst of that warfare, we're not tied up, we're not stressed, we're not anxious, we're resting. What are we resting on? The promise. Amen? You digest the promise of God and you rest on that promise. You swing it every day. Several times a day, you confess the word, you confess the promise, you stand on the word, but as you're standing, you're not in a state of anxiety, you're in a state of rest. We labor to enter into his rest. And like I said, so that if the rapture catches us and our healing hasn't manifest or our breakthrough hasn't manifest, we don't feel like it caught us off guard. Why? Because we were standing even at that moment. See, while you're believing, you're partaking of that thing. It just hasn't come yet. Do you see that? A person who's truly in faith and experiencing now faith, they're partaking of that blessing even before it gets here. You ever close your eyes and imagine yourself driving that new car or stepping into this or that, you know, experience in life? You're enjoying that thing before you get there. That's what faith does. That's what faith does. Amen? Let's stand together. There's more to say about faith, and we're not finished yet. Amen? But I wanted to draw the contrast between standing and fighting and resting, sitting and resting. Amen? We fight the devil. We rest in God. Do you see the difference?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you today that you're working in us. Your great power is at work in us who believe. Let's just reach out with our hearts right now. Reach out by faith. And let God energize your faith, even in the house this morning as you're standing there. Whatever you've been believing God for, just reach out and receive a fresh dose of his power. The Bible says there's a power that's at work in us who believe. That's a mystery right there. That's the life-giving force of God that's at work in operation. If you're believing God for something in your life, that God is pleased with that. He looks down and he pours his power out on that little seed of faith that's reaching up to heaven. And in his power, that faith will be met. In his power, that miracle breakthrough will come in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you today that the breakthroughs are coming, that 2024 is going to wrap up with breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough, triumph after triumph after triumph. For you always lead us in triumphal procession in Jesus. Oh, we celebrate that, Father. We thank you for it today. We thank you for what you're doing in us. Hey, if you're here today and you say, Pastor Scott, I'm not a born-again Christian. I have not ever surrendered my life to Christ. Or I've been away from Jesus, but I'd like to come back to him today. If that finds you in either of those categories and you'd like to return to the Lord today or give him your heart for the first time, would you just raise your hand real quick? We're going to pray a prayer together, a prayer to receive Jesus or to surrender to him afresh. And we're going to give you that opportunity today. I'm not going to embarrass anyone, but we're just going to pray this together and give you the chance to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Anybody at all, just raise your hand real high so I can see it. And then we're going to pray out loud together. Let's pray this prayer out loud together. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place. I believe Jesus is your Son, that he died on Calvary. He was buried. And on the third day, raised again. He now sits at your right hand, the place of favor and honor, the place you call me to. Thank you for making me your child, for washing away my sins in the precious blood of Jesus. Save me now, Lord, and make me your child. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer, you got born again just now. The Bible said if you prayed that for the first time, you became a child of God. You're his child. Amen. And I encourage you, get a Bible, get in church, a good church like ours, and come and hear the word of God and grow in Jesus. Amen. Let him raise you up. You'll be amazed at what God will do with your life. Folks, we're called to be faith people. If your life is boring, it means your faith is inactive. It's got worms all over it. Okay? You just need to wake that faith up again. Get in the book. Find out what God has to say to you. There's an amazing thing. We call it a quickening. When you read this book, the Holy Spirit will literally breathe on it. He'll breathe life on a promise. And God will make it real in your heart. And it'll spring up and it will bear fruit that will glorify the Father, and it will amaze you. Amen? We're called to live amazing lives in Jesus. I'm looking at a room full of amazing believers here going to do great things. Amen? In the days ahead. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that you bless us. You bless this word. You cause us to rest in you. Even in the midst of spiritual warfare, we can rest and know that you are at work in us who believe. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you tonight at 5:30. Don't miss dinner.